You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Jane, oh my gosh. So you win 7 of 8, and of course they go to AT&T Park in San Francisco, and of course they beat the Giants twice, because that's how the script is written, right? So what is going on with these guys? Where's the turnaround? What's the credit here?
Yeah, I mean, it's a little odd. I mean, I think they gained a lot of momentum coming from Anaheim. I know they wanted to complete that four-game sweep, ended up taking 3 of 4, but you know, they came home and went into San Francisco, and I think there's always a different vibe with the Bay Bridge series. There's just a different feel, kind of like a playoff atmosphere almost, just because the crowd is so into it. And I know that both teams, you know, take pride in doing really well in the series. Bob Melvin's always talking about it with his players, you know, repeats it every year just because there's always so many players coming in and out. But everyone's just kind of a little more aware of, you know, the significance of the series. And, I mean, for them to go in there, you know, at the start of the series, the Giants had the best record in the National League. You know, a couple crazy games there. And then last night, taking it over to Oakland, just a commanding win with the Giants playing pretty sloppily. We're just seeing, you know, the type of consistent baseball that the A's have been wanting and hoping for you know, basically the entirety of the season up to this point. This is the type of team, especially with the offense, that they envisioned, and they're getting just contributions up and down the lineup. You know, a lot of home runs in these last few games. I think it's 48 runs total in their last 6 games, which is kind of crazy. But, you know, their pitching's also been doing well. They're just kind of clicking on all cylinders right now.
Yeah, they scored, as you noted in one of your write-ups, six or more runs in 6 consecutive games, which is kind of been their mojo, I guess, the entire season. I mean, everyone knew that they were going to have a good offensive team. Going back to that series with the Angels for a second, I mean, I was on the Astros side kind of watching Houston sweep them in Anaheim. So the Angels, I mean, that's kind of what you have to do to the down-and-out teams, right? And it's sort of a measure when you're talking about a team that's been struggling like the A's. It is sort of a measure, even though nobody would admit it, like saying, okay, how bad are we? Like, can we beat some of the worst teams in the game, or are we really this bad? And I think they had to have walked away from that Angels series saying, okay, this kind of shows that we are a little bit better than maybe we've been playing.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I don't think, obviously, no team wants to be, you know, at the bottom of the cellar. But it had taken a while for the A's to do that. You saw in their last road trip, you know, going to cities like Milwaukee and Cincinnati, teams that you would think they should beat, you know, they weren't. And they were playing, I mean, they were down several players. And that's another thing with this team right now. It's getting healthier. I mean, within just the last couple of days, they've gotten Josh Reddick back. They got Sean Manaea back last night. He pitched really well. And on Saturday, they're getting Rich Hill back. So they're pretty much, I mean, back to full strength, which for a while, you know, that health was something that they were really lacking. So I think, you know, now that they recognize that all their missing parts are coming back together, you know, this is the time for them to kind of show, you know, their potential. And I know, I think they're not ignorant of where they are in the standings. They're still several games back, double-digit games back of the Rangers. But, I mean, things can happen quickly, and, you know, that I think they don't want to get too far ahead of themselves because they know that playing consistent baseball has been a struggle all season, and I think, you know, it's still a little too early to say, oh, well, you know, this is it, here we go. But they're at least recognizing, you know, the potential that they have. And they're playing with a lot of momentum right now, a lot of good vibes. So,
yeah.
You know, it will be interesting to see, you know, over the course of this next week, they go into Minnesota, another team that, you know, like we were saying, they should beat. And it's going to be about whether they can take advantage of that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that we can't just gloss over the return of Josh Reddick. My goodness, I mean, who knows if it coincides with this big offensive breakout. I mean, of course, when you put a hitter back in the lineup, it just makes everybody else better. And you know, a lot of guys are going to see a lot better pitches. There's just this whole residual effect that happens. Having him back in the middle of the order that's just got to be, like, so encouraging for the team at this point.
Yeah, I mean, especially, you know, you think back to the way Reddick was going before he got hurt. I mean, he looked like, you know, a potential all-star in the making, and that's why, you know, the timing of the injury, of course, it's never a good time, but he was going so well at the plate. But it was a downer for this team. And, you know, you put him back in there, it's like you were saying, just the residual effects of it. It's not just about that one player. It's what it does to the rest of the lineup. It lengthens this team's lineup. Bob Melvin was just saying last night, you know, the better lineups are ones that, you know, up and down, you're getting production. And that's the way it is right now. I mean, you look at the bottom of the A's lineup, you've got Yonder, Alonso, Marcus Semien, Billy Burns even down there. Those are guys that are getting on base a lot. And you're seeing consistent production, you know, from them, even when you're not getting it from the heart of the order.
It's interesting because at this point, I was just reading some of the things that have been written about the Rangers, and just as far as, like, the pitching goes, and the trade deadline being a little bit away, but they really do have to wait and see what they have and where they're headed in terms of injuries, right, before they can really make any assessments on what they might need.
Yeah, I mean, I would still think relief pitching is more important to them. They're going to get Darvish back here after the All-Star break, and Derek Holland should be back as well. I still think they need another arm in the bullpen to kind of reinforce that area.
Yeah, so the bullpen the last couple of days have had really just things have blown up on them. There's no really better way to put it. Just a complete meltdown a few days ago with the Yankees, and then a random way to lose the game. It really wasn't the bullpen's fault, not a tough fault. But are they getting gassed at all? I mean, what is going on with that? They've been so reliable. It doesn't sound like they really feel like they need many wholesale changes the back end.
Well, I think the problem is that every night is a close game. I mean, they're running hot and heavy. Just as a team in general, every game is a nail biter. I mean, they've had some incredible baseball games this year, just one after another. That, you know, they don't have very many blowouts or very many boring games. And I think they're almost like a NASCAR driver who's running full tilt around the track without regard to how much gas is in the tank. And, you know, they could be in danger of, you know, running out of gas. But, you know, when you play tight games every night, I mean, every single night, you're going to get games like that where one or two are going to get away from them. I think that part was inevitable.
Yeah, Sam Dyson said, no, this is not because of the workload when he had that blown save the other night. You know, he's definitely one that's deflecting that whole storyline. But, I mean, they really can't say anything else besides that, right? It's not like they're going to sit there and say, I'm working too much.
Well, when you're on the line every night, you're not going to be perfect. I mean, and they're on the line every night, whether it's Dyson or Jake Diekman or Matt Bush. You know, somebody's out there on the line every night trying to protect a close lead or trying to keep it close. I mean, there's been no margin for error. They have just not had any blowouts. I mean, they go into Minnesota here for three days, and, you know, this team could really just use a weekend where they just really, you know, pummel a last-place team and get three easy wins and kind of take it easy for a weekend. You know, the Twins have been playing better, and, you know, Paul Molitor's team is not going to lay down for anybody. And the Rangers have had trouble in the past at Target Field, so it's not going to be easy, but that's what they really need is just some blowouts.
Yeah, I guess you can't really plan for those. I mean, these games against the Yankees, it's the first time that they've lost a consecutive game since the middle of May when they lost three in a row. So, I mean, it's funny, John Daniel said, I mean, things happen over the course of the season. When it comes to a team that is doing as well as they have been doing, I guess when these things happen, they get maybe magnified a little bit, but there really isn't any reason for anybody to be worried about anything, right? Especially with the starters coming back healthy pretty soon?
No, I don't think there's room for panic. I just think that they need one more good arm in the bullpen. If they're going to be running hot and heavy every night, they just need some help. You know, the good thing is Sean Tolleson did not give up a run in June, so he's really close to being back to a full member of the back end of the bullpen, as it were, rather than just kind of the mop-up in the middle of relief role. That will help. And they're hopefully going to get Keone Kella back after the All-Star break. If he's back to where he was last year, that would really help out as well.
My goodness, let's start with the rotation, which has had a lot of injuries to very, very key pitchers. We know about Felix, but also Taiwan Walker. So he's having some issues. But can you fill us in on that?
Yeah, it's a foot problem, and he's been able to pitch with it, but not pitch very deep into games. And it's in the arch of his foot. He's got a tendon, and basically, when he pushes off the rubber, it starts to flare up. And when he digs in and really wants to throw up a heater, and that's a big pitch for him, he's got to push off hard, and it hurts, and it starts building up on him. So they pulled him after 3 2/3 innings in Tampa when it just started to bother him. They kept him out. They figured they'd tape it, worked on it, thought he was okay for his next start. And he went out and pitched 5 scoreless at Fenway Park and had a lead there and seemed to be doing all right. But after 88 pitches, they took him out early and after the game, explained that that foot indeed was bothering him enough so that they've sent him back to Seattle to get MRI on that and see what's going on. So definitely a concern. They're already shorthanded, as you mentioned, with Felix and now Wade Miley going on the DL. So you basically got 3 of your starters, 2 on the DL for a couple more weeks at least, and Walker now an issue. So what was a strength of this team in their starting rotation suddenly being hit, and sometimes it happens, Allison, and that's kind of where they're at right now.
Yeah, so Wade Miley, it's a sore shoulder, and it's throwing shoulder, which is alarming, but he feels like he's expecting to come off the DL. He's eligible at June 28th, so he feels pretty confident that he's going to be able to come off.
Yeah, that one seems pretty minor, although anytime you get anything in that shoulder, of course, red flags go up, and that's why they're being careful with him. They put him on the DL backdated to his previous start, so he should only miss 2 starts, really, if they can get away with it and get him back on the 28th, as they expect. He's already back out throwing some light catch and seems to be feeling okay. So it wasn't a major issue. It says that he said it was something that was just kind of nagging him, and he hasn't been pitching real well. They just thought, hey, we'll sit him down and let that thing clear up and hopefully reduce any problem before the long term. And when they did that, they weren't quite certain on Walker being a problem. So whether they would have done that knowing Walker's now an issue as well, I don't know. But sometimes careful and caution is the wise thing to do with pitching. So they do think Miley's okay. Felix is starting to feel better. His calf is, he's kept him out. He's missed 4 starts now, and he's starting to play some catch, and things are feeling better there. But probably going to be the All-Star break, probably after the All-Star break when he comes back. So still a little time for him as well.
So they made a trade for Zach Lee, and I love I'm a skeptic by nature, especially when I'm viewing this from the outside, and I'm not fully invested in anything. So okay, so it's a minor deal. They assigned him to AAA, but he's a right-handed starter. Of course, Jerry DePoto says it's not related to what's going on with the current injury situation, but I have to question that. It's good to have reinforcement, and it's good to have some depth. But it does seem like maybe they're preparing for what could be a pretty long second half. You don't really plan for injuries, but you can't really discount them. But I guess he would provide some depth if they needed it.
Sure, and sort of in DePoto's instance, he has been saying since he arrived here, hey, we got to get better pitching depth. We need pitching depth at the AAA level, and you're going to need those guys over the course of the year. I don't think at the time he was thinking they would need them all, this month. But as it turns out, they're starting to test that depth. And yeah, you're adding an arm. Zach Lee is a guy that's going to move into AAA. And if they need him, sure, they could bring him up. They got some other guys. Cody Martin is a guy who could come up. He's also on the 40-man. So, they've got some options there. Don Roach is a guy they liked in spring. So Joe Whelan's a guy they traded for last year, kind of a similar guy that's kind of that AAA type guy that they can – bring up. So they've got some options there, but from their perspective, and I think most teams, you can't have enough. And sometimes when you need to start testing that depth, you want the guy that's pitching well. You want a guy, and I think Zach Lee is a guy with some upside. Hasn't pitched real well this year, but was a very top high prospect in the Dodgers previous years, and a guy that kind of hoping to get turned around. He's a strike thrower kind of guy they like, and they want to see what they've got, and he could be a guy indeed if they have to keep going deeper, that he could be a guy in that mix pretty soon.
Alden, okay, so before we get into the day-to-day performance of the Los Angeles Anaheim Angels of Anaheim, or however you call them, let's talk about let's talk about Andrew Heaney. So he is he's having Tommy John surgery, and he's out until most likely early 2018. So what happened? What led up to this? They were trying to do some other things, and what finally shut down that philosophy to move into the surgery?
Well, I'll go back to the beginning of the season. First start of the year, Andrew Heaney completes 6 innings, but he feels some discomfort in his forearm. He is placed on the disabled list and diagnosed with a left flexor muscle strain. Was initially told that his ligament is fine, and he tries to restart a throwing program shortly thereafter. But once he starts to really amp it up, he still feels pain. He goes back, sees a bunch of doctors, and it is revealed that he's got a slight tear on his ulnar collateral ligament, and they suggested to him stem cell therapy, which would be the use of stem cells extracted from bone marrow, which are then injected into the affected area, and they kind of act as a healing agent. It's a course similar to PRP that some pitchers go to in hopes of avoiding Tommy John surgery, and every guy who has a slight tear is a candidate for that. And Andrew Heaney opted to go that route, as did Garrett Richards eventually. So he was waiting on that, and the problem with Andrew, as he told me on Thursday night when I spoke to him over the phone, was he was told that at the 8-week mark, the pitchers who normally recover from this and whose stem cells usually work for, at the 8-week mark, they're usually asymptomatic. Andrew Heaney went back to Dr. Yoon's office in Los Angeles, the guy who did his stem cells, on Monday, which happened to be the 8-week mark, and he was not asymptomatic. The MRI showed that the UCL hadn't really healed at the rate that they had hoped. He tried some strength tests, and he was still feeling the same discomfort that he was feeling in April. And that pretty much put it in his mind that, you know what, this is not working out. And, you know, one thing that Andrew said and one thing that Garrett has said also is that he wanted to make a quick decision on whether or not to have the Tommy John surgery. He wanted to try this course first because he saw Tommy John surgery as kind of a last resort. But once he realized it wasn't working, he wanted to make a quick decision on it. So Andrew was initially scheduled to have another follow-up exam shortly after the All-Star break, but he decided against it. The fact that he wasn't really healing optimally just kind of put it in his mind that, you know what, let's just do it. I spoke to him last night. He seemed he was disappointed, but he seemed kind of at peace with it because, you know, dating back to early May, he knew that this was a reality. The likelihood is that he's going to be gone until the start of 2018, but they haven't really set a timetable for it yet. He had surgery this morning, and they're just going to see how it goes.
Yeah, when it comes to this stem cell therapy, I mean, maybe I'm thinking along the wrong way, but it just seems like a lot of guys have Tommy John surgery. You don't really hear, like, stem cell therapy, like, rectifying the problem forever. It usually seems to end in surgery. Have there been, like, an inordinate amount of guys who have kind of been able to be good as new just from the therapy?
There have been guys who have turned to it. Masahiro Tanaka is a guy that continually gets mentioned. Zach Greinke has taken this course of action. Bartolo Colon is the guy who made it popular when he had stem cell therapy for his elbow and his shoulder, and it kind of reinvigorated his career, and it caused this huge controversy because nobody really knew what it was at that time. But, you know, the cynics among them, they will say that, you know, this is just, you know, I spoke to one doctor leading up to this who you know, illustrated this as kind of kicking the can down the road. You know, it's kind of a quick fix that, you know, there's a huge risk that eventually you could have the same problem again. And then there are other doctors who do this who kind of rave about the success rate that they've had, and they say that if you have the right candidate with only a slight tear, with good healing agents in the stem cells, that this can work. And, you know, I think the reason why Andrew thought that this was the right course of action initially, and, you know, he's one of the more pragmatic, deep thinkers that I've ever seen, especially for a kid who's 25 years old. His first start of the season, it wasn't one of those situations that you see with most pitchers who blow out their ligament where, like, they feel something and they know right away, okay, this is not right. I got to come out of the game. Andrew never felt pain. He kept calling it discomfort. He continued to pitch through it. He pitched six innings. He started a throwing program again. In his mind, he didn't have a full, well, the MRI showed he didn't have a full tear. And the fact that he didn't really experience a distinguishable amount of pain kind of made him a little more open to this kind of thing. It has worked in the past, but, you know, Tommy John surgery is the best course usually. It is the longest rehab, and as Billy Upper pointed out and as Andrew pointed out, surgery is never a certainty, even something with the success rate of Tommy John surgery, but it is the best way to fix the ligament. And so he just wanted to make sure that he exhausted all of his options before he went into the operating table, and that's what he did.
Yeah, and you mentioned Garrett Richards, who's also going through stem cell therapy. He's having some success with it, so it's the total opposite. And so he's going to keep proceeding with that, right?
Yeah, he went on Monday for the same follow-up visit. He was told that he was progressing well, and he was asymptomatic. And this is only 6 weeks for him. And from what I've heard from people around him, although he doesn't feel comfortable talking about it just yet, he's very excited about it. He's very enthusiastic about it. He's going to get a checkup again in early August. And now this one's a little tricky, though, because they're waiting a while. The next follow-up is in about 5.5 weeks. That puts it up to August 8th. And I think at that point, they got to make a decision. Either he's going to have Tommy John surgery or he's going to start a throwing program to kind of show that he won't need it, because they're not going to dismiss Tommy John surgery unless Garrett Richards shows that he could throw competitive pitches. So, but they have to make the decision then, because if they prolong this any longer, then you kind of run the risk of it bleeding, of his recovery process kind of bleeding into 2018 if he does have the surgery. So I expect a decision one way or another on Garrett Richards maybe by the middle of August.
Okay, I want to start with Alex Bregman, actually. So I want to actually start with somebody who's not even playing for the Astros right now, but he is a top prospect. He is a shortstop by nature, but they have moved him to third base. And now the Astros have promoted him from AA to AAA. So he is, he was just drafted a couple of years ago, but he is one of the top prospects in baseball. Do you think that a promotion to the Astros would be just around the corner?
I think so, yeah. And he was the number two pick last year, so he's barely a year into his professional career. But I do think that the fact that he's now in AAA and that the Astros are playing well, that they might have some use for him and might have some use for that bat sooner than later. I mean, I know AJ likes him, and AJ would probably want him in the lineup tonight. That's not the case. They got to move him along a little slowly. But, you know, he was called up after the Texas League All-Star game, which, of course, he hit a home run in the Texas League All-Star game. And then in his first game in Fresno, he went 4-for-5. So he certainly looks like he adjusted really quickly to AAA. If he keeps hitting, I think this time a month from now, I think they'll look to call him up and find a way if he can help him out. There's something different about him. He's a special kind of player and hitter, and he's only one game in the AAA, and he's showing that again.
There's a lot of that would just be an addition if he could hit at the major league level and not really go through struggles. I mean, that's asking a lot to come in right in the middle of wild card race or division race or whatever they're going to be in. But like you said, there are some special players. I want to talk about another special player, and that's Jose Altuve, who, you'd think a couple of years ago when he wins a batting title, like his game couldn't get any better. And now it seems to have, he's taken it to a level that none of us could have imagined. He is, he's riding an 11-game hitting streak, and he's batting .444 throughout that, and he's just having a phenomenal year. What is going on with, we talk about him all the time, but, we're starting to talk about history in the making, aren't we?
Yeah, he's one of the top two or three hitters in the game, and he's on a pace to break his own record of hits in a season for the team, which is, like you said, when he had that season a couple years ago, you're like, well, this will be, he had a great year last year, but he's on pace to not only have more hits, but, crush his home run numbers and RBI numbers. He's already one walk shy of tying his career high in walks. And that shows you right there, I think, what's going on is that he's becoming a lot more a selective hitter, not the free swinger we saw a few years ago. He swings at strikes. He doesn't chase anymore, doesn't strike out much at all anymore. And when he hits the ball, he hits it hard. His bat to ball skills, as we know, are very good. So when he only swings at pitches in the strike zone, more often than not makes contact and usually hits the ball very hard, usually to left field, but he's showing a little power to right field this year. And, you know, he went 4-for-5 the last game in Anaheim, and I went up to AJ afterward. I was like, what's wrong with Altuve? He made an out. He doesn't make many outs. I mean, he's hitting .420 in the month of June. It's pretty incredible and fun to watch. And, you know, I think he's starting to really cross that echelon now where people are considering him one of the top handful of players in the game. It's well-deserved because he wants to get better. He plays hard. He tries to get better. And here he is now having an MVP-caliber year.
So what's going on with Lance McCullers? He had a miss a start with a blister. Is everything okay with him? Is he going to slide back into the rotation?
Yeah, he's going to pitch Monday on July 4th. He'll return to the rotation. So he'll just have missed that one start. Yeah, I think it was, you know, I never had a chance to see it. He had a Band-Aid over it, but the way it was described is just not really a blister, but a blister starting. And the fact they did have Scott Feldman, and he was rested and ready. AJ thought, well, let's just skip Lance once and get back to him his next turn through the rotation. And Feldman, even though he wasn't stretched out, wound up giving them 5 innings without allowing an earned run. So he did a nice job. But yeah, Lance, you know, it's going to be a big second half for Lance because he hasn't pitched deep in the games for the most part. You know, he didn't get on the mound for the Astros until mid-May. So he's got to get his feet under him a little bit, start getting more efficient, get deeper in the games, work through first or second innings without giving up runs. Those have been a problem for him. And just establish himself as one of the horses of the rotation, because right now we know Keuchel's still struggling a little bit, even though he's got a couple of wins in his last few starts, and McHugh's been a little hit or miss. They need somebody in the rotation to step up and kind of become the stopper almost, along with Pfister, and McCullers could be the guy to do that.
Yeah, so when just looking at the overall team, I mean, obviously, it's not like the division race is over, but the Rangers have a very nice, healthy lead, and they seem to be getting some of those starters that have been hurt are starting to come back. The Astros are very much in the thick of the wild card race, but they probably need to fortify their team in some ways, maybe at the trade deadline. And it just seems like, I mean, offensively, they're obviously a little top-heavy still, but they're clicking a lot. They're getting some production from some of the guys in the bottom of the order. The bullpen is very, very good. So I guess they'll probably be on the lookout for maybe a starter, right? I mean, the rotation's doing pretty well, but I still have suspicions that, like, these guys could, you know, get them through a six-month season plus a month of the playoff.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. Look at the lineup you mentioned. Valbuena's last month has been great. I mean, you have no problems with running him out there every day in the lineup. And Rasmus is coming around again, got his average up to over 250. We know he can provide the power. So when those guys are doing that, the lineup is pretty dangerous. You know, they still have the black hole at first base. Reed hasn't done a lot. And maybe that's where we can see Bregman down the road. Maybe Bregman comes and plays third and they move Valbuena to first. But, yeah, to address your question, yeah, I do think if they make a trade, I think it will be starting pitching just because, you know, I think first base they're going to go with Reed or try to mix and match with what they have. Outfield, you're not going to make any changes. I just don't see any changes on the field, infield anywhere either. So, and then, like you said, the bullpen's fine. So I think it will be starting pitching. But, you know, to get somebody who's better than Colin McHugh or Scott Feldman, who hasn't done a bad job when he was starting, I mean, who's out there? And what are you going to have to give up? That's the big question. Are you going to make a trade where you give up three prospects for a number four starter, or when you feel, hey, maybe we can just ride out what they have? Because since May 1st, the rotation, for the most part, has been pretty good. But it just feels like it's just missing that one guy that, you know, even when you get to the playoffs and if you get into a series and you match up, you're not going to match up very well. I mean, look at the series this weekend against the White Sox. They have Sailing on Saturday, Jose Quintana on Sunday, and the Astros aren't matching up pitching-wise with those guys. And there's going to be a lot of those matchups down the road, and if they make the playoffs, they're still missing that one arm, but I don't know if they can give up enough to get somebody better than what they have. So it's going to be interesting.